Welcome to part two of the Hardware Asylum podcast, where we take an in-depth look at Computex 2025, including brands like MSI, ASUS, and Silverstone. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McKinney.
Well, if you're listening, welcome back to episode two, part two, if you will, of our 2025 Computex experience. And we're going to start the ball rolling, as promised, with the MSI booth.
MSI had some interesting things on display and one amazing thing on display.
All right.
So the first board that I have here that we're going to talk about is a mini ITX motherboard based off of the X870 chipset from AMD. And it's interesting because it's kind of a different orientation and layout that we're normally accustomed to.
Yeah, that's really interesting because looking at that, I can't tell where the I/O is.
Yeah. So on the left, we have basically a big metal heatsink with a fan in there, and that's going to be cooling your VRM. It's also covering the I/O. So you have a fully functional I/O cover.
Now, hold on, because, well, first of all, I want to note that the board is really small because it looks like it's the same length as your RAM.
Well, yeah, it's a mini ITX.
Yeah, but I'm seeing what looks like I/O ports on both sides.
Oh, you're talking about this thing over here.
Yeah.
Well, here, let's go to the next picture. So on the next picture, we basically have this little expansion board that plugs in similar to like a memory slot, right?
Yeah.
It's a PCB and it has your SATA ports. So it's got four SATAs. It also has USB 3.2, some fan headers, and some power delivery stuff.
That's really clever. I mean, I get that that makes the board stay small, but you can add a bunch of additional functionality, but... Mm-hmm. It's like an accessory port.
Yeah, in a way. It also has other levels of stuff. So like this heatsink right here, that's on the top is the, it's where your M.2 drive goes.
Yeah.
But then underneath it is even some more ports of other things. And I think there's another M.2 that's under that.
Wow.
Further.
So we're using the space vertically and horizontally now.
Mm-hmm.
Clever.
Well, you know, Mini ITX was... Well, I said it before, Mini ITX is really the future of desktop PCs because we don't need to have multiple graphics cards unless you're doing AI. And these boards have been packed with everything that you could possibly need. But eventually you're going to run out of space, which is why something like what MSI has come up with is really revolutionary.
Yeah, I like that. And it's the first really clever thing I've seen in Mini ITX in a long time.
Yep. Now, we also had some graphics cards on display, some with AIOs, which is pretty great. We also had screens. So on some MSI motherboards, you have a video port, and that video port will interface with a screen. And now you can have multiple screens. So this is a picture here showing a case that has that screen off to the side.
Ooh, and I like it.
You can have your dashboard on there. You could have also some videos on there. And it's all controlled by the software that you can install with the motherboard.
Now, we've seen that in a couple of the cases. I think we talked about that in the wish list episode.
Mm-hmm.
But that's on board. No, that's not on the motherboard. That's on the case.
Yeah, it's on the case. But we do have motherboards like the MSI Godlike that have LCD screens on board.
I think we're going to see a lot more of this moving forward because these screens have gotten pretty inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really a cool add-on to your case.
Yeah. We have also a chassis design, and this is the Meg PC chassis. We saw a version of this at CES. It's been refined, and now the guts of it can be removed, and it turns it into kind of a test bench.
I like that.
So we have, yeah, it's so like...
It's an overclocking platform, if you will, for the Meg.
Mm-hmm.
It's a test bench. It is an open build.
Yeah. Also makes it easy to assemble all your stuff before you put it into this monster case that's draped in glass.
Looks like it supports those rear-facing motherboards too. So you could have a pretty clean cable-free or almost cable-free build.
Yeah. That's really kind of the other future is that we have these reverse connector motherboards that are really going into DIY builds, whereas I thought that they would really be more of an OEM-style part. Because that way the OEM can stay within the ecosystem of that particular brand. Whereas in the DIY market, we have cases from this company and motherboards from this company, and we have graphics cards from another company. And not all of that stuff works together when you have the reverse connector.
Well,
stuff.
That's true, but I think we're moving towards a standard at least, although every company has their own name for it.
Yep. Now, here's the highlight board that is why I think MSI is going to be the reigning motherboard champion of the hardware Xylem Labs.
Give them the belt.
Yeah. We have the M-Power Micro ATX motherboard.
Oh, that's a micro because it looks big from the picture.
Well, it's because it's bigger than normal Micro ATX motherboards.
Nice.
But Micro ATX, so small, but M-Power. Do you know why M-Power makes a comeback?
No.
No? Oh, shame on you, darn. M-Power was basically the SoC of MSI.
Oh,
back in, remember
so
back
we
in?
We are bringing back the premium overclocking boards in a micro?
Yep.
Oh, nice.
Yep. The AMD platform is really where overclocking is going in the DIY market because Intel's kind of fallen off the rails in
terms
of.
They're busy doing AI and processors and other random stuff.
Stuff and stuff. So AMD has kind of picked up the slack, enabling people to overclock again. And so MSI said, well, we'll just bring back the M-Power and build a board specifically for people that want to do performance tuning.
Well, I think I might have mentioned that I am switching back for the first time in many, many years to an AMD build myself.
Oh, yeah. So we'll check in with you in the 6 months to see if you've gone rogue or started to, you know, vape or something like that.
That's right. I'll be inventing my own processors.
Yeah. All right, and we also have an innovation from MSI, which I think is really kind of fun. You know, on the back of motherboards and most PCBs, you have these through-hole solder connections.
Yes.
These little wires that come through, and sometimes they'll poke you.
Very pokey.
Yeah.
It's not a computer build if it doesn't draw blood.
You know, that's true. So what we have here, though, is MSI has figured out a way to do through-hole soldering without the part going through.
Oh, interesting. Is it just a deeper PCB?
No, I think what it is, it's a surface mount connection that just doesn't have the pin that goes all the way through. So normally that pin is how the solder holds the component to the PCB and makes the connection that's required. If you remove the pin and then just basically just make it as long as the PCB is, then the solder should be able to get in there and actually hold it to the PCB.
I like that. I couldn't help but notice the sticker in the bottom of this picture. You guys will have to check it out.
Oh.
Because it's got a picture of a hand with a little shield. Your hand is protected.
Yeah.
I can't read the text, but I'm happy with the iconography there.
It says safe assembly.
Safe assembly. That's what they're calling that.
Yeah.
I don't know what would happen if I built a PCB that didn't cut my hand somehow.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not quite sure exactly how they do that soldering connection there, but I have a feeling it has something to do with the way that they are soldering their reverse connection components.
Oh yeah. Leverage that technology.
Mm-hmm. And just put it on the other side. And then we have a Project Zero board, which is kind of fun because now they're doing Project Zero with the titanium boards.
Nice.
So it's not just black. You can do white ones now
too. Oh, so pretty. Yep. Again, white's coming back. If you're not building white, you're behind the curve.
Yeah.
ARGB is last year.
It's so true. Okay, so we have ROG. There wasn't a lot of new things at the ROG booth, but we did see some Blackwell NVIDIA architecture stuff, and these were all signed by Jensen, so, you know, they're going to be worth something someday.
There you go. Could be yours.
We have the ROG Crosshair X870E Apex.
Wait, no. Did you say Crosshair?
Crosshair.
Is that like Crossfire?
No.
Ah, dang it.
Crosshair is the series name of the AMD motherboards in the ROG lineup.
Oh, I did know that.
Yeah.
It's just not as fun.
Yeah. Well, we saw the Apex at CES, and I was like, yes, I need to have that board in my life because, you know, it's Apex. It's awesome. I have several of them already, so this would go to the collection.
That's right.
Now, they're expanding it to now include the X870E Extreme.
Extreme. That's a pretty board.
Yeah, well, you've seen that board.
Because I have.
I have the Extreme in my desktop.
With the beautiful graphics and the video.
Yep.
It's so extreme.
Yeah, and the massive cooler.
Massive.
It's over extreme. And then we also have another view of it showing the massive VRM around the CPU, which is pretty awesome because it's extreme. And then the board side by side. Oh, and Noctua is now making a cooler for the Astro line of 50 series graphics cards for ROG.
So you can finally match those Noctua fans to something.
Yep.
More Noctua fans.
To more Noctua fans. Now, the interesting thing here is that Noctua just didn't supply the fans. They also designed the cooler.
Well, they are definitely very good at it. I have to admit, it looks pretty good, even with the Noctua brown and tan there. Mm-hmm. It works.
Yeah, it has its own charm. And if you already have a Noctua in your system, it's going to match really, really well.
And that's not a bad decision because they make amazing fans and cooling supplies.
Mm-hmm. And we have, I skipped over this one because it was like, oh, this is just the Astro. That's stupid. But here, okay. In the 40 series era was when BTF first got released, right?
Now, BTF, that's like a boy band, right?
Yeah, the one where the cable's on the back of the PCB.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
that boy band. That boy band. Now, when I was building out my machine that I did for Christmas in the Christmas episode of our Hardware Asylum podcast, I was looking for a video card, and I could not find one that was not gouged, except for a 4090 from ASUS that was the BTF that had the power port that was down by the fingers for the PCI Express slot.
Which is clever, I think.
It's awesome. But the problem is, unless you have a supporting motherboard, you cannot use that graphics card, which is why that 4090 was actually at list price, because they couldn't sell it.
Because nobody's buying them.
Yeah. So now what ASUS has come up with is a way that you can use those board or those cards on non-BTF motherboards. And it's...
So they've got an adapter.
And they have this little extension adapter. So all of their boards will have this port for BTF and also another power port. And they're interchangeable. And if you're going to install it into a BTF motherboard and you want to use the onboard power... You just install this little extension. Yeah. Anyhow, we'll move on. Silverstone. So we have Silverstone always has a great supply of chassis. And lately, they've been focusing on workstation and enterprise. It's one of their side divisions, but, you know, they still have some desktop stuff.
Right.
The big case on display was the Alta T2. We saw the Alta T1 last year. Monster of a case, also modular.
Wow, that is huge.
And now it's not so modular and it's come with handles and stuff, and still supports all of the big, massive stuff that you need to have for a workstation to make all your friends jealous.
Well, it does look like you could put the fans just about anywhere on that internal caging, so that at least is pretty modular.
Mm-hmm. And we have another view of it here.
Ooh, now, I saw your pictures of this, and I know this is going to get you excited. Because Silverstone has done the unthinkable. They've taken us back to the beige box.
Yes, they have. And this is the FLP02. And if you know anything about the way Silverstone names things, the O or the zero is usually a denotation of the version. And so this is the second version of a retro PC case. The first one they did was actually a desktop style based off of one of the G-series chassis.
Oh, my.
And I guess it's been selling like gangbusters.
Well, I think retro is high right now, and I know you've been doing your retro builds, but This is like a huge sleeper case. Now, I got to stop because it looks like there are some old-school floppy drives, and that cannot be what those are.
Right. Yeah, they're not. Those are just covers.
So those are just for show because that's awesome.
Yeah. But they're also somewhat functional. So these, and what Darren's talking about is the 5 1/4 faux.
You got to look at the pictures, guys. You got to look.
The drive cover. And the slot there that normally locks the heads down so that you can read from the 5 1/4 inch floppy disk is a lock. So if you flip it up, you can remove that cover.
No, that's clever.
It's actually really neat.
So I see it's even got the old screen on it and the security key.
Yeah.
What is the screen actually doing?
It's the RPM sensor for the fans.
Oh, so that's a fan controller.
Kinda. I mean, if you hit the turbo button, it disables the PWM control on the fans and runs them at full speed, which is really amazing. I think that's super creative.
Kind of cool.
And then you got a working reset button. You have the key lock and then a rocker switch.
The power switch is on the front.
Yep. Now, the one thing, the power switch is, it looks old, but it's not in the quote unquote retro location. So this really is just a little dashboard that fits into the 5 1/4 external slots.
Right.
So they kind of cheated a bit. But the way that this is screen printed here with the plastic overlay, top notch. That's the way that it's always been.
Well, it's neat. And it does give you the option to, if you need that space for something, I don't know what.
Yeah.
You could remove that screen. You wouldn't need it anymore.
Well, of course. I mean, this has like 5 5 1/4 slots in it. And they are real external 5 1/4 slots.
I haven't seen those in a while.
Yeah. So you have, oh, and then the front is the intake, and it supports, was it a, I think a 280 AIO can fit down there.
Nice.
And then they have a spot for 3 fans across the top and then one in the normal exhaust location. Cause this, the base chassis is based off of their current lineup. So chances are I reviewed the case that made
this is based on.
Yeah, it's based on. And we have...
That's cool. I know you ordered one of those things, right?
Yeah, I'm... Yeah.
It gets better. What is that?
Well, there's a flip down at the top that exposes the USB ports. So we have support for USB-C, audio, and 2 USB-As. And they're all hidden behind a magnet-style flip dealy bobber.
Well, I like the idea of that, but it is, I think, one of those things where you're going to end up with it maybe always down. We'll have to see.
Possibly. Now, if we get a shot of the inside of the chassis, we can see at the top that there is a 360 AIO installed. Yeah. And we also have real external 5 1/4 inch drive bays.
I'm sure removable, but nice.
And full graphics support with a vertical GPU.
Very cool.
And then a little tray down here at the bottom, which I'm not sure exactly what does, but I think it's supposed to hold the GPU up as well.
Yeah. So you don't have a picture with the side on it, of course, because they want to show the middle, but is it a windowed case?
I don't think so. I think it's a solid panel.
Okay. So that makes sense with the retro, but interesting.
Although if we look at these rails, see this rail at the top and the rail at the bottom?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a tempered glass rail. So this might actually be a tempered glass case, and they might also have a solid panel for it.
Yeah, options. I like it.
Silverstone was working really hard to try and make this a real retro display. If you look down here, we have a standard PS2 style mouse.
Old school.
And an IBM keyboard.
Wow.
From the old days. And he said that they found a working CRT monitor, but it was too big for the table that this was going to be placed on, so they didn't bring it.
That might be worth something these days.
Yeah. But I'm thinking that this case right here is going to be my next LAN party build.
Got to build one. Super sleeper. Love it.
Maybe we'll get 2. We'll mod them the way we used to. We can do some custom paint and stuff like that.
Here you go. Custom paint. Some of those fan covers like the biohazard and stuff.
Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome.
Total throwback.
Yep. And then, let's see, Silverstone also had a couple of workstation chassis that were on display. This is one that I want to get in. It's called the WS380E. And it's one that I saw last year at Computex. But it's one of those chassis that is really a 4U rack mount.
Okay.
That's converted to a pedestal. So it's a desktop or floor top server. In the middle is where the AIO is. So the AIO isn't actually on the outside of the chassis.
Oh, interesting. Okay. And
before that is all of the drives. So you have all your drive racks and stuff like that and extra fans.
So it is really still kind of a server layout then inside.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then on the inside of it is where, you know, your motherboard, video cards, and all that stuff is. And they support full height graphics cards because while it looks skinny, mostly because it doesn't have any room behind the motherboard tray to run cables and stuff like that,
right. It
is still technically full height, so you can put full graphics cards and stuff in there.
Yeah, so that's kind of almost a minimalist look to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to be great. Now, if we move to Team Group was showing off memory like they normally do, right? Because they're a memory company. And one of the highlights there was they had machines running 4 memory sticks. And This one was 256 gigabytes total.
Ooh, that's a big number.
With 64 gigabyte modules. And I can tell you that running 4 sticks on my Asus Maximus Extreme is difficult. I cannot actually enable XMP without heavily modifying some of the timings. And so being able to run this at speed at that density is a huge accomplishment.
And if I'm looking at that correctly, those are ARGB sticks too. I mean, that's pretty RAM.
Yeah, it's actually good stuff. And it's running, I think it's 7600 or something like that.
There you go. The future is even more memory.
More memory. And then they also had some memory that was overclocked to 10,000 megatransfers per second.
Wow.
Which, of course, nobody really buys memory that fast, but it's really nice when you can see a company being able to pull it off.
Well, and that's, again, looking forward to the future, right? 10,000 seems extreme now, but in a year or two, that technology will trickle down to the masses.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we have some fancy T-Force memory. These were styled after an anime, but they actually just look really good.
What is that?
Oh.
I'm peeking ahead. My bad.
Yeah, I know. And I was like trying to finish my thought, but I think it's fine. Okay, so I move forward. And the thing that Darren was looking at here.
Project Edge White.
Yeah.
I got to have it. Look at that.
Yeah, they're little LCD screens that fit on the edge of your fans.
That is super cool. I could see that on your radiator, especially across the top of your case. Mm-hmm. And the screens are clever. You got to look at the pictures again on this one.
Yeah.
It's like a little kind of simple Mario Brothers sort of thing happening.
It's actually Minecraft.
Is that what that
is? Well, it's not actual Minecraft, but it's influenced by Minecraft.
So you got Minecraft style screens. Mm-hmm. It is pretty.
Yeah, I really was impressed with these. And they said, well, we're not sure if we're going to be able to do these ones, but we wanted to show what was possible.
That's awesome. Just one more piece of your PC that's not being utilized gets a screen.
And it gets better. You want to see?
It gets better. How?
Gets better because we have...
Oh, wow.
We have screens on three sides of an AIO. Basically, it just plugs down onto the top of the AIO pump, and then you get fully daisy chained panels that you can display a video on.
Wow. I never thought I'd see the day where the screens would be this big. Mm-hmm. And in so many different places, I see the cubes everywhere. It's a nice theme they've got going there.
Yeah, and they decided to call it like Project Cube or something like that. So they adopted a Minecraft theme for it. And in the background, you can see some of the little Minecraft characters.
Black or white even.
Mm-hmm. And it really just lifts off. It's just it's got pogo pins, so it magnets down into place, and then that's how all the video activates. After that, it's just a regular AIO underneath it.
We cannot get enough screens in our PCs this year. It's the theme.
Yep. Well, and this one's four screens wrapped around the entire AIO. So there you go. And if you get the Edge ones, it's for every fan that's installed. And then we also had the NR200 clones, which are the TR200s. And these are, actually, it's one of my favorite one of my favorite mini ITX computer cases from Cooler Master. It's the NR200 because it cools well. It stores all of your hardware efficiently. And of course, Thermaltake wanted to get in on the action.
Well,
so.
Of course. And they've got some really attractive color schemes there. Looks like almost a powder coated look there going for internals, externals. Nice. Yep.
And they also added the ability to put screens on the front.
Well, of course.
Because they're going full into the screens. They said that they got an exceptionally good deal on panels and they're just trying to figure out how to use them.
I like the look of that too. Although the case itself is relatively simple. You know, you're not going to be looking at the case. You'll be looking at the screen.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe that's where you play your game.
Yeah.
Or show your stats or something like that.
Screen.
And then an alternative of it has wooden popsicle sticks in the front. You know, because you have to have the wood accents these days with computer cases.
I see these at so many vendors, but I have yet to see anybody build one in our area.
Yeah. Our area is very fickle in the we want to have gaming everything.
RGB, right?
Although I did hold on to one of my Fractal cases, the Fractal North XL, because it's got the wood on the front. And I saw that case at just about every one of the vendors as a build. So it's still extremely popular as a gaming alternative chassis that supports high-end stuff.
Well, and very unique looking too. Not a bad choice.
Mm-hmm. And then we have another version of that case. It's a little bit taller with the screen. And the corner office, because that's really super popular, they call this one the View 290 tempered glass with rounded tempered glass on there, which is pretty nice. And so those vendors are what I'm going to be writing about, so you'll be able to find more details about these and everything else that I saw at Computex on hardwareasylum.com. But I wanted to really kind of wrap up the depth of the show for me.
Okay.
And for instance, I take a lot of pictures, right? Out of all of the vendors I saw, I have 32 directories of all of the different vendors that I saw.
Right.
Including a company called Anaconda.
Okay.
And I stopped by Ace Rock, but, you know, they, again, didn't want to talk to me, which is really stupid. I stopped by Bits Power, Bywin, Colorful. I stopped by SAMA, S-A-M-A, which this is like their China brand, and they do OEM stuff, but it's like the cheap of the cheap.
Okay.
But they're trying to do a breakout into the U.S. market and trying to come up with some U.S.-friendly case designs. So there's got some stylish stuff on display, but it's still relatively inexpensive stuff.
So we've got a lot more content coming in the written part of the show.
Yeah, some of these things will not make it onto the site at all, but it's just a matter of, hey, I went to a lot of and saw a lot of people, and there's a lot of great things to see, which is great.
So tuck to me all these vendors aside.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I noticed some trends, but what did you see were the big trends across the whole show this time around? What was kind of thematic, the breaking new stuff that we should be watching for?
Okay. Well, that's a very good question, because a lot of what every company was chasing was, how can we contribute to AI?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So just about every motherboard I saw was multi-graphics capable, which is something that you didn't see in the post-SLI world. So we get to see that again, which is really, it's a nice thing to come back. But I don't like the fact that it's dedicated to just AI stuff.
We'll see if gaming makes a comeback across multiple cards.
Yeah, probably not. But, you know, mostly because the cards we can buy now are so powerful, you don't need it aside from just to show off.
Hardware ahead of software, same as last year.
Always, always. Let's see. We also had enterprise grade hardware. Most of the vendors had, you know, consumer stuff and then enterprise stuff. And the servers that they're putting together are just massive, massive machines. So things I would say the theme is bigger and better.
Right.
But it's all because AI is driving all of that stuff.
Well, you need so much power and so much video for AI. It'd be interesting to see if we can find a way to scale AI down, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
No, not so much. I mean, the only way that AI is going to scale down is if we can figure out how to make specialized models for certain things. There's this concept of on the edge. So you have edge computing, which is like first line stuff. And in the past, they were just these little microcontrollers that would go and collect data. Well, now they're full small machines that are full computers, you know, a little bit more powerful than your mobile phone or something like that.
Right.
And those are sitting on the edge so that they're collecting all the data and then sending it back to the data center. Well, they're adding AI to those machines to filter out some of the data that's coming in to make better sense of it. A lot of that was also at Computex as well. And that's where faster storage comes in, where more system memory comes in, being able to run AI on lower cost hardware comes in. And while incrementally, you know, the consumer space, you know, the stuff that we care about hasn't changed all that much. And negligibly, that's the word, removing the through holes on the back of a motherboard, really, you know, that's a problem that didn't really need to be solved, but somebody did because, hey, we can. So that's a lot of what I saw there was like, well, it's because we can.
Well, you saw a lot of vendors there. If you had to pick a highlight.
Oh, a highlight.
What was your favorite booth this year? Who had the good booth?
Oh, Silverstone with the FLP02. That was
nice.
That was eye-opening. It was amazing. It was like, you know, and what was weird is that I talked to Silverstone like 5 years ago about retro PCs because I was getting into doing some retro stuff and say, hey, I think it would be pretty great if we could do a modern chassis designed in the old way.
There you go.
And I even sent off a picture of a retro PC and then outlined areas where, okay, this could be this, this could be this, hook this in to do this. And while they didn't take my design verbatim, I'm seeing a lot of what I put in there as being the logical progression of what they put into this chassis. So
you got them thinking at least.
Yeah. I'm not sure where the genesis came from, or maybe it just happened at the same time, but I'm glad to see that that particular chassis is making, you know, its debut. And a lot of people are excited about it just because, you know, it's different. It's the one different thing that people can talk about.
Well, and that's the thing that we like, especially with LAN parties and gatherings, right? You want your case to look great,
yep.
But you want it to stand out. You don't want the same case as everybody on your row.
Nope, not at all. I mean, that's how you lose face that way.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for listening to our coverage of the show this year, 2025 Computex. Hope you enjoyed it. Check out the articles. More to come.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS or subscribe to us on YouTube. This has been an Engineering Production, copyright 2025. Thanks for listening.